The wound had shown up on his scan like the dissipating vapor trail of an aircraft. "But that means," Zebra started to say. "Shall I spell it out for you? It means I'm the man Tanner Mirabel was working for. Kawea."
"This gets worse," Quirrenbach said.
"Hear him out," Zebra said. "I was there when we visited the Mixmaster, remember? He isn't making all of this up." I turned to Chantrell. "You saw the genetic changes which had been worked on my eyes. Kawea had that done to himself. It was work he paid the Ultras to perform on him. Hunting was a hobby of his. But there was more to it than that, wasn't there? Kawea wanted to be able to see at night because he hated darkness, hated the memory of being small and alone and forgotten, waiting in the nursery." "You're still talking of Kawea like he's some third person," Zebra said. "Why? Aren't you sure that you're him?" I shook my head, remembering kneeling in the rain, every absolute blasted away. That sense of total dislocation was still there, but in the intervening time I'd contained it, built a scaffold around it, a structure, however rickety, which would at least allow me to function in the present. Circumstantially, yes, but if I have his memories, they're fragmented, no more clear than Tanner's.
"Let's get this straight," said Quirrenbach.
"You haven't got a fucking clue who you are, is that it?"
"No," I said, admiring my own calm. "I'm Kawea. I'm completely sure of it now."
"Tanner wants you dead," Zebra said, as we left Chantrell's car at the perimeter of the station concourse, "even though you and he used to be close." Images of a white room, of a man crouched naked on its floor, flashed across my mind's eye, like glimpses in a strobe light, gaining tiny increments of clarity with each repetition. "Something very bad happened," I said. "The man I am, Kawea, did something very bad to Tanner. I'm not sure I blame Tanner for wanting revenge."
"I don't blame him or you or whoever it was," Chantrell said. "Not if you, Tanner, shot him."
She frowned, but I couldn't blame her for that. Keeping track of these shifting layers of identity and memory was like holding the weave of a complex tapestry in mind. "Tanner missed," I said. "His shot was meant to save Kawea's wife, but he ended up killing her instead. I think it may have been the first and last mistake of his career. Not bad when you think about it, and everything he did was in the heat of the moment."
"You sound like you don't really blame him for coming after you," Zebra said.
Our group trooped into the concourse, which was noticeably busier than when we had last been there, only a few hours before. Nothing resembling officialdom had yet claimed Dominica's tent, although there were also no customers anywhere near it. I presumed her body was still alive, still suspended above the couch where she worked her acts of neural exorcism, still gilded by snakes. Word of her death must surely have spread far into the mulch by now, but the sheer illegality of it, cutting against all the unspoken laws of who could and could not be touched, still served to enforce a zone of exclusion around the tent. "I don't think anyone would blame him," I said, "because what I did to him." The white room returned, except this time I shared the perspective of the crouched man, felt his nakedness and his excruciating fear, a fear that opened up rifts of emotion he'd never imagined before, like a man glimpsing hallucinogenic new colors. Tanner's perspective. The creature stirred in the alcove, uncoiling itself with languid patience, as if, in some simple loop of its tiny brain, it understood that its prey was not going anywhere in a hurry. The juvenile was not a large hamadryad. It must have been birthed from its tree mother in the last 5 years, judging by the roseate hue of its photovoltaic hood, furled around its head like the wings of a resting bat.